This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Cover, so yeah. There we go. Now we thought we'd just we've got our next guest in the studio with us. We've got from the Collingwood. Now I'm just double checking everything. I had Marcus Westbury. Sorry, Marcus. Your surname just slipped my mind. We've got Marcus Westbury, who's the CEO for the Collingwood Yards, here to talk to us. Now, Collingwood Yards might sound like a new thing for people, but we'll get Marcus to explain what. Where the Collingwood Yards are and what they are. But before we do that, Marcus, welcome to the show. We'd like to talk a little bit about your background. How did you get started in the arts and where you are? How did you get to where you are now?
It's been a very circuitous route to where I am now. So I started in Newcastle, which is my hometown, and as a underemployed late teenager, started putting on community projects and events and festivals in Newcastle.
And Newcastle was always one of those cities, wasn't it? Because I lived in Sydney a couple of times, and so many people were, you know, like great people within the arts came out of Newcastle.
And it's a great sort of DIY town when you're young. So, like the ability, because I think you said people who get good at anything tend to move away to where the jobs are. So there's always an opportunity to start something or do something. So I started some community organisations and then some festivals.
But why did you, because it takes a special person to do that. And especially when you're younger, you often drop the ball a bit.
I did drop the ball a bit, but in between dropping the ball, part of it, I grew up at a time when there was really deep youth unemployment in Newcastle, about 40%. So reached a certain point in my life where, if you wanted to do something constructive, it sort of had to be a bit of your own project.
Yeah.
And so found a great group of people and started putting on festivals, community events, started a festival called This Is Not Art up in Newcastle. And then it sort of gradually grew. And I did that for a while. And then eventually I relocated to Melbourne in 2002.
What brought you here?
I was the artistic director of the Next Wave Festival.
Ah. So
came here for that job.
Love that festival.
Did that for 4 years. Right. And then I took another weird set of detours after that, one of which involved going back to Newcastle and starting this project called Renew Newcastle, which takes over empty buildings and lends them to artists and creative community projects.
Because the town has changed so dramatically too over the years, hasn't it?
It has. And it's sort of, it's just my hometown, so I'm a bit biased, but so I always found it to be very sort of underrated place. It's a beautiful city right on the beach, great creative community, but in the late, about a decade ago, I went back just for a visit and just counted 150 empty buildings in the two main streets, and it was a bit of a shock to the system. So started an organisation that went about turning these buildings into temporary space for artists and creative projects, creative enterprises of different kinds. And then that sort of circuitously led me down the path towards doing, projects that more involve physical space, which had not so much been what I'd been doing prior to that, and did that for a while. That model got picked up in a lot of other cities around the country and around the world, and then found myself about 4 or 5 years ago, looking for a new project and stumbled upon this.
And it's taken that long to get off the ground.
Yeah, I started 4 years ago. So 4 years ago this month, or last month as it is now. So
what's the space you're talking about? As Neil just said, it's called Collingwood Yards. But where's Collingwood Yards? What is it?
Yeah, so when I first sort of discovered the project, basically the old former Collingwood TAFE site in Johnson Street next to the Tote Hotel, where Circus Oz and the Spiegel Tent are now.
And Keith Haring.
And the Keith Haring
mural. Don't forget Keith Haring.
No, I can't forget Keith Haring. It's been fantastic. I've actually just been at the Keith Haring exhibition with my son.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
And it's just great that he's nine and could instantly recognise Haring's style from a mile away. These three buildings that were part of that site, the state government had decided about a decade ago that they would turn it into an arts use of some kind.
I was not aware of that. Yeah, so it must have slipped by me.
I think it's gone through a few different visions and incarnations, and then about 4 or 5 years ago, the decision was made to hand ownership over to basically an independent community-based organisation to run it. And I was the first employee, so I came on board, 4 years ago last month. It's been a fair journey in terms of finding basically we're a not-for-profit. We now own the site. It's been gifted to us by the state. Uh-huh. We've had to raise about $15 million from philanthropy, government, business to do the redevelopment. These buildings have been empty for, in some cases, 15 years. So definitely not up to modern standards and modern codes. And then working with small to medium arts organisations and individual artists to fill them out and open them up.
And the lovely thing of it is that Art Deco, isn't it? A lot of the buildings...
Johnson Street here has a really iconic Art Deco entrance, which many people would recognise. And we're really fortunate. We've got five different entrances. We cross two blocks. There's one side of it's Perry Street, one side of it's Johnson Street. And the variety of entrances is quite distinct. You can come in via the Herring Mural, you can come in through the Grand Art Deco entrance. We've created a couple of discrete little laneway entrances on the other side and a new link on the Johnson Street side, which will open when we open to the public in April.
And who's in there? What organisations are there?
So it's a mixture.
Or will be there?
Yeah, look, it's a mixture. So it's some very very prominent artist-run galleries like Bus Projects and West Space moving there, a number of organisations, Auspicious Arts, Experimenta, Community Radio, PBS will be moving there.
Oh, okay.
It'll be their long-term home up and running. Organisations like Social Studio, Code Like a Girl, and about 16... individual studios. So there's, you know, we've currently got about 40 artists working out of those studio spaces as well.
Right. And so that space for rent is, you know, like they hire that from you or?
Yeah, look, our goal is to, our reason for being is to be an affordable landlord, basically provide sustainable, long-term, affordable space for arts and creative enterprise. And we it's a mixture between, we've got some hospitality operators, we've got some more commercial things in the mix, but they're cross-subsidising artists and organisations that might not otherwise afford to be there. So it's a long-term, secure, affordable home for the arts in the inner city.
Yeah.
And there'll be obviously performance spaces and exhibition spaces there as well?
There will be. We won't run those. The idea is that we're basically trying to step one step back. But obviously, there's exhibition spaces through the galleries like Bus Projects and West Space. There is a multi-purpose event performance venue coming online, which is part of the music market, which is state government has helped a number of music industry organisations come together on the site. So Music Victoria, The Push, the Victorian Music Development Office, all moving in, as well as PBS. We'll have an event performance space with a music focus. And then we've also got this fantastic central courtyard, which has been sort of hidden away for, you know, best part of a couple of decades if you weren't going to the TAFE or the school, which really opens up and we can have hundreds of people out there for concerts and events. And, you know, when there's a festival on, there's the possibility of having multi-stages between ourselves and Circus Oz and the Spiegel Tent and these outdoor spaces as well. So it'll be a real hub, I think, a real hub of small to medium-sized activities together.
And it just reinforce what this city is known for, the arts, and making it even more accessible for the artists and for us as the viewing public.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, there is a bit of a crisis at the moment. I think that, you know, I can stand on the upper floors of our buildings in Collingwood. You can look out and you can see the various warehouses and spaces where, you know, had historically been things like cheap studios or spaces where people could rehearse or, and they're disappearing at an incredible rate.
Yep.
And, you know, just becoming incredibly expensive, all being redeveloped into apartments.
Yep.
A lot of the organisations that we are working with have all grown up close to the inner city, or a lot of them have grown up close to the inner city and can't otherwise afford to be here if we weren't making this step to provide a secure future.
And because so many galleries are in that neck of the woods too, aren't they? And as you said, they'll probably be disappearing if the buildings are bought.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot under threat and, you know, it's a real crisis. I think, you know, one of the things we're trying to do is balance a mixture of providing secure, affordable, long-term homes for organisations that have been around for a while, but also provide entry-level opportunities for, you know, emerging artists to have their first studio or whatever the case may be. And I think, you know, those, you know, compared to when I started out where, you know, space was abundant and time was abundant, it's very difficult, I think, to actually, you know, get the space to develop whatever your practice is.
Oh, and as you said earlier as well, that it is so centrally located and it's so well known, that part of town for the arts, that it's really so valuable that this is happening.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, and it's a reminder. I mean, the Herring mural and all the celebration, we've had the Keith Herring Foundation through and we've reopened, you know, the mural was hidden a little bit behind some hoarding while we were doing some construction, but also doing some work on preserving the mural. And, you know, it's amazing just with that marker there, that the number of people that already come to that spot. Mm. You know, from around the world, I'll run into a Japanese camera crew one day and a, you know, Hollywood movie star the next, like literally filming out the front of the mural there.
Oh, I got goosebumps just, you know, like how much impact that has.
And I suppose the important thing is, besides making use of the space and everything else, it's also providing that access for people to come, you know, like either the locals or visitors into the area coming to actually see what, I suppose, what Collingwood has to offer or that site has to offer. And that's, I suppose, that's where hopefully people will be able to come and do that and find space. And like you're saying, that courtyard and everything like that, basically.
Absolutely. A lot of the work we've done, it depends on how well you know the site, but it you know, it was a school, it was almost designed like a fortress to keep the kids in and the public out. And so a lot of work we're doing is just like about sort of literally physically opening up new entrances and ways in so people can fit, the whole community is invited into that space. But also one of the other things that we're really excited about is just when you bring that many talented, creative people and organisations into proximity with each other, the collaborations that start happening and are already starting to happen are really exciting. Mm. So I think over and beyond just, you know, the benefit of supporting everyone individually, there's this great opportunity that comes from having everyone together.
Mm. Okay. And when will the whole, your section be open?
So in we're open in stages throughout the year. The main thing we're waiting on at the moment is we have a lot of outdoor works around the courtyard that are still under construction. We've opened up studio space for studio artists and office spaces, but we're not really open to the public yet. Circa April, May, we'll open up all the central areas to the public. There'll still be some of our fit-outs going on until the second half of the year or early next year. If you're involved in radio, you might appreciate, you know, PBS need to build a full station and will probably take the best part of 6 to 12 months to start all the gear.
We're moving. Down south, so we know.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's an example, I think, of what we're dealing with everywhere. So, you know, they've got a long lead time before they'll be finished. But by this time next year, everything should be in. Mm. And by certainly come spring, hoping to have all the public-facing aspects open and really be able to enjoy next spring and summer there.
Yeah. Well, we'd love you to come back on like every few months to give us an update of what's going on. Would be fantastic.
Very happy to.
Yeah.
It's exciting times.
Thanks so much. It's exciting times. And what's it called again now?
Collingwood Yards.
Right.
So it was the Collingwood Arts Precinct, but it was very confusing. So we've gone with Collingwood Yards.
Marcus, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Art.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.